Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with EPA's Dr. George Gray, Assistant Administrator for Research and Development. Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Consulting Practice. George, can you describe what some of your highest organizational priorities are for the fiscal year 2007?
I'd be happy to. Now, the way in which we manage ORD, it's important to say that everything we do at some level is a priority. We're working in a world where and resources are limited, and we work really hard to plan to make sure that we're doing the right science. At the same time, there really are some areas that we are putting extra emphasis on, some things where we've put some additional resources or we're just applying more brain power. Water infrastructure is one of those. That is, how can we find ways to help with this, both our drinking water and our wastewater infrastructure as it ages, to make sure that we're being efficient with the water that we have, that we're doing the best job we can protecting human health and the environment. Another area that's up and coming is nanotechnology. Nanotechnology is clearly an area that we have been involved in for a while, but it's something that's getting even more attention as we move forward. It's something where we will be putting effort into research both in ORD and in research that we fund out in the universities around the country. An area of real interest of mine that comes partially just from my background and the work that I did as an academic is the way in which we assess risks, and we're working to do a better job of risk assessment. There, the idea is to get just the best information possible into the hands of people who have to use that information to make some sort of decisions. We are also going to continue to focus on our important work in homeland security. So homeland security research is an important responsibility the agency has been given, and within ORD, our Homeland Security Research Center is working on a variety of important areas, from how to decontaminate outdoor spaces if there's some sort of attack, to how to best monitor water systems for whether something might be going on. So Homeland Security is another important area. And then finally, just kind of wrapping up all of this, is we're really beginning to put more emphasis on the notion of sustainability. That is, how can we think about making all of our research and all of our work fit together to help to support. Really, what's interestingly, the president gave Steve Johnson a charge when he was named administrator, and he reminds us all the time of that charge. So the president told Steve Johnson that what he wanted him to do as administrator of the EPA was to accelerate the pace of environmental protection while enhancing our nation's economic competitiveness. And to me, that's sustainability. That's finding ways to do a better job of protecting human health and the environment we want to do in ways that are cost-effective, that are smart, that are making us more efficient. And that's going to be another area that we'll be focusing on, is how we as ORD can help to support the agency as we move to this kind of thinking that recognizes the interconnectedness of so many of the things that we do: energy, water, quantity and quality, things where there are interconnected decisions that have to be made, where making sustainable decisions means having really good information. And in ORD, we're going to be thinking about how we can support those decisions best.
George, you mentioned nanotechnology, and we know that the EPA leads the federal government in planning research directions for the environmental applications and impacts of nanotechnology. I was hoping you could take 30 seconds to give us the definition of nanotechnology and tell us more about EPA's research strategy around the study of nanotechnology and highlight its potential to improve environmental monitoring and pollution control.
Sure. Nanotechnology is really working with really, really small engineered structures. That's an important thing, that we are now developing the ability to make, purposely make, small structures that are a nanometer, which is 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter long, in some dimension or another. So what we consider nanotechnology are things where we're engineering things at these very small scales. Why that's interesting is that at a small scale, things can have new and different properties than they do in the large. One example of this that's being used a lot is carbon. Carbon is a lump of coal. But if you take those carbon molecules and you arrange them in a certain way at a very, very small scale, they take on very new properties, where they're stronger, where they're lighter, where they have different surface properties that change at the nanometer scale. And there are all kinds of fantastic and really exciting opportunities for nanotechnology to enhance our quality of life. In ORT, we've been looking at nanotechnology, sort of knowing that it's been coming, really since 2001. We've been doing and funding research in that area, and that research falls into two general areas. Al, you touched on these. The first one is what we call the applications of nanotechnology, the ways in which it can help us to do a better job protecting the environment. And for example, we've had some of our funded research that's gotten to the point where there are new ways using nano-sized zero-valent iron as a way to better clean up contaminated waste sites. So it's a great application of a place where we're going to do a better, more efficient job of cleaning up with this nanotechnology. Another way that we're looking at the nanotechnology is for use as sensors and things like that that can help us detect things in the environment. So we're looking at applications for helping us do a better job, new ways of doing chemical reactions that make less waste so they're more efficient. All of these sorts of things we're supporting. We're also putting more emphasis now even on what we call the implications of nanotechnology. And there we're thinking about what might happen, whether there might be some risks associated with nanotechnology that we'll need to understand so that we can properly manage them to be able to get those benefits to our quality of life that this technology can bring us.
Now, George, you listed risk assessment as an organizational priority. How has your office sought to enhance the transparency and inclusiveness of the chemical risk assessment process through the creation of the Integrated Risk Information Systems, or IRIS? And the second part of the question is, could you describe IRIS and its principal benefits?
Sure. A lot of the work, as I mentioned, we support decisions that are made in other parts of the agency. And sometimes in making those decisions, they have to know whether a particular chemical is hazardous and maybe how hazardous it is. The IRIS system, the Integrated Risk Information System, is a way in which we apply very, very thorough, very, very good reviews and analyses of specific chemicals, and then we make that information available to the rest of the agency. But IRIS in many ways has become so effective that it's now used not just by EPA but by state agencies, local agencies. Right now, a third of the hits on our website for IRIS are from outside of this country. So this is an information source that was developed, first started 20 years ago within the agency, and has grown in importance now to the point where it's being used not just around the country but around the world. What we're doing now within ORD is working to make the way in which we do those analyses of chemicals, the way in which we look at the information we have, first of all, as open and transparent as possible. The decisions we make have implications for lots of people, not just in government but in the private sector and elsewhere. And we want people to understand how we do our analyses. We also want to be open to sources of information, knowledge, data that comes from outside of ORD. There's lots of smart scientists in ORD, but there's an awful lot of smart scientists elsewhere. And we want to make sure that we have a process that allows them to get their information and their knowledge in to make sure we do the best job that we can when we're assessing chemicals. So we've got a process ongoing and we're working on this, and it's something that we all support as a way to make this really important database even more effective in the future.
Now, you mentioned in the first segment computational toxicology. Can you expand on comptox? Specifically, how does it reduce reliance on animal toxicity testing?
Well, one of the things that we hope to do with comptox is to take advantage of the ability to manipulate and use lots and lots of different kinds of data in very sophisticated models. But for example, one of the things we want to do is how do we learn from all the tests that have already been done? One kind of work that we do in ORD that's a kind of comptox is called structure-activity relationships, where we look at chemicals that have already been tested. And what happened when you tested those? What kind of organ damage did it cause? Was it neurotoxic? Using that kind of information then to make predictions about chemicals that you haven't tested yet. Can you learn from the things you've tested to make predictions about things that haven't been tested and the kinds of adverse effects they might have? At the very least, that can help us set priorities for testing, which should reduce our reliance on animal testing. And at some point, I actually think we will be sophisticated enough in our comptox abilities to not even need to do animal testing to be able to make decisions based on the kinds of information that we can get out of these systems. Another neat thing that's happening in comptox is taking advantage of a revolution in biology that's going on. It's often called the omics explosion, where there are new ways of measuring things. Genomics, working with the power of DNA. Proteomics works with protein, the next step up from DNA. And looking at the way in which DNA or proteins or the way in which the body processes things change with exposure to chemicals or biological agents or physical agents. And what we want to do is have the ability to process the huge amounts of information that come out of that and, again, use that to help make predictions so that perhaps we could do chemical testing instead of on a cage full of mice. We could do it on a little gene chip and get the same information and be as confident in it. Those are the things we're working toward in our comptox center.
George, we talk with many of our guests about collaboration. And given its R&D development focus, your organization certainly collaborates with many other entities across the federal agencies, private sector, and academia. What kinds of partnerships are you developing to improve operations or outcomes for ORD, and how will partnerships between the EPA and other federal agencies, or the private sector for that matter, change over time?
Well, that's a great question now, because one of the things that I recognize as I've come in and we're looking at where ORD is we are in a world where resources are limited. There are a lot of things we'd like to do, and collaboration is a great way to make the most of the talents and the resources that other folks have. So within the federal government, there's a coordination that happens sort of through the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the Office of the President's Science Advisor. And they try to work across federal scientific agencies to make sure that there's coordination. A great example of that is the government's work on nanotechnology, where through the National Nanotechnology Initiative, there's a great deal of resources going into nanotechnology. But the federal agencies are all talking and they're coordinating and they're working together to avoid duplication. For example, in the area of implications of nanotechnology, an area I said that ORD is working on, we are coordinating with the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, for example. They are doing certain kinds of implication research, a lot of it that has to do with the response of animals and humans. We are, on the other hand, taking the skills and the talents that we have in ORD, and we're focusing a lot on environmental fate and transport of nanotechnology. All of these are things that we're going to need to bring together. But we don't each have to do that research ourselves. So there is coordinating technology and collaboration there that happens across the federal agencies. We work a lot with academic institutions, and that ranges from our STAR grant program that we have within ORD, the Science to Achieve Results, the STAR grants. And next year we'll put about $60 million out into the academic community to help to give folks – to have them do research that's going to help us. And then we work with the private sector in a variety of ways. We have a program that we call our ETV, our Environmental Technology Verification. And what we do there is have private sector companies that have developed new technologies that they think can help solve an environmental problem. They come to us and we set up a test method. We set up a way of validating that their test actually does what it says, and then we will validate it. And that's something then that they can use when they're going out in the marketplace and say, EPA has looked at, tested, and approved this particular technology. It's a way we work with them. We also do research with what are called CRADAs, Cooperative Research and Development Agreements. And these are agreements between the government and often a private sector organization, a research organization, someone else, to do work that is mutually beneficial. So we really do work to collaborate the best we can, to take advantage of the talents that are outside of the agency, to leverage the talents that we've got within ORD to help to be ready to meet all of these challenges that are coming.
That's fantastic. How is the EPA managing its research and development efforts? We will ask Dr. George Gray, Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at EPA, to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.